The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, exploring the human endeavor.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
Hi, Patrick Cox here. And it's late September, which means the UN General Assembly has been meeting. And that makes it an especially busy time for interpreters. Now, interpreters really make the world go round, linguistically speaking. And simultaneous interpreters, they make it go round that much quicker, almost in real time. My colleague here at The Big Show, Nina Porzucchi, a regular contributor to the pod, she's overseeing a series that we're doing on various aspects of translation. And we thought that for part of that, she could find out more about those incredible people who can listen in one language and speak in another, pretty much at the same time. Here's Nina.
Lynn Visson was a UN interpreter during the height of the Cold War, but she can rattle off Soviet titles like it was yesterday.
General Secretary of the Central Committee of the Communist Party, Chairman of the Presidium of the Supreme Soviet. You had that practically memorized.
After 23 years, she's still at it, interpreting from French and Russian into English. And she's witnessed, well, spoken for, some pretty heavy hitters.
I remember Castro spoke for all of about 8 minutes, but the charisma was incredible, the electricity the man generated. Bill Clinton could do that. Gorbachev could do that.
Relaying the words of world leaders means not mincing them, be it Holocaust denials, carefully crafted insults, strongly worded Cold War rhetoric. Visson has had to say it all.
And one of the things you are taught is that you're like an actor on stage. So I think if you look on it as acting, it can almost become fun, even when you're saying things that you personally may find utterly repugnant or hateful.
The logistics for interpreting the 6 official UN languages, English, French, Arabic, Chinese, Spanish, and Russian, in real time, are headache-inducing. In fact, it requires a flowchart to outline who interprets what when. And while we all think of those UN delegates with headphones in their ears, simultaneous interpretation is actually a rather recent invention, invented for a very different global event.
Day one of the 10-month drama now ended at Nuremberg.
Before the Nuremberg trials, any kind of interpretation was done consecutively, meaning you talk, then I translate what you say. Talk, translate, talk, translate. But at the end of World War II, the Allies quickly created an international war tribunal that was charged with an explicit mission. The trials of Nazi war criminals should be, quote, fair and expeditious.
Those two words really put enormous constraints on the people organizing the trial.
Interpreter and historian Francesca Gaiba studied the origins of simultaneous interpretation at the Nuremberg trials. And to be fair and expeditious, she says, meant that the trial had to speed up the translation of the 4 languages of the nations involved, English, German, Russian, and French. The solution was thought up by a Colonel Léon Dossier. Born in France, a native French speaker, Dossier became an American citizen and a foreign language expert for the U.S. Army.
He was the person who thought it was possible for a human being to listen and speak at the same time.
Possible, yes. Easy, no. And how do you even transmit all those languages? This is 1945, remember. There are no digital recordings. They weren't even using tape. Despite a lot of naysayers, Dossier pressed on. He consulted with IBM to develop a system of microphones and headsets to transmit that cacophony of languages. He hired interpreters, and they practiced this new type of interpreting. And somehow, despite a few episodes of tripping over cords in the courtroom, Dossier's system worked.
Avez-vous inscrit dans votre journal? Je parle de ce qui suit la situation précédente.
L'activité belge fut complétée par la nomination de commissaire.
The Wehrmacht did march in. That is a political question. It might have become the happiest country on earth.
Even before the Nuremberg trials were over, Dossier had taken his system to the UN in New York, where it is still the model being used today, with some minor upgrades in technology.
When I started at the UN, all the interpreters were lugging around these heavy, heavy, big, fat dictionaries. And now they're lugging around iPads and notebook computers, because most of the glossaries are in those.
L'Invisson says there's also TV monitors in the back booth so that the interpreters can watch the expressions of diplomats and their mouths moving. Yet technology hasn't advanced enough to actually replace the interpreters themselves.
I mean, if someone says, and so we think this resolution is absolutely unacceptable, and you get an answer, really? 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 Those are completely different things, and the computer cannot pick up the distinctions in intonation.
Sorry, Google Translate. Often, actually, one of the biggest challenges for interpreters is not the tone, but simply figuring out what a diplomat is trying to say.
People with foreign accents, for example, you want to be careful that when you hear someone saying, Mr. Chairman, we wish to congratulate you on your defective leadership. You know he didn't mean his defective leadership, he meant his effective leadership. But you've got to not be just simply automatically translating word by word, mot à mot, as we say. And think about it, because heaven help you if you say we congratulate you on your defective leadership.
Sometimes a diplomat's English is not that good.
There's a Russian word which means fears, misgivings, apprehensions. And a colleague of mine was doing a Russian delegate who kept using this word over and over and over. And it gets very dull when you've got the same word coming back. So first the interpreter said, we have fears about this. And then he said, and we have many apprehensions. And finally he got tired of saying that. He said, and we have serious misgivings. And there was a dead silence on the other end. And the Russian delegate said, no, wrong translation. We are not giving anything away.
In her decades at the UN, Visson has seen and said it all.
And it was a real challenge. I still find it a tremendous intellectual challenge.
I was up for the challenge. I kind of wanted to try it out for myself. Basically, at the same time you're doing it, I say what you're saying. Is that sort of it?
Well, wait until about halfway through a sentence and then try it.
Okay.
I mean, don't do it immediately.
Don't do it immediately.
You couldn't do that in interpreting. You'd have to know where the sentence is going. Otherwise, if you jump in, this is called... I'm getting my voice coming back.
Epic fail. I challenge you in your car, at the sink doing dishes. You repeat what I'm saying right now while I'm saying it. Not easy, right? Well, I'll go slow. For the world, I'm Nina Porzucchi.
I'm not even going to try that. But I do want to say, simultaneous interpreters of the world, my chapeau is off to you. I know that a lot of it's in the training, but still, it's an extraordinary skill. There's a bunch more on this topic, photos, video, etc., at our website, pri.org/language. And for more on our sister pods, one with Farai, Sideshow, and Radio Ambulante Unscripted, go to soundworks.org. I'll be back later this week. And in between now and then, I'll be on Facebook at the World in Words page and on Twitter. My handle is Patrick Cox, PatriCox. See you next time.
The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, Exploring the Human Endeavor. The World in Words is also supported in part by PRI's New Voices Fund, bringing new perspectives and personalities to public media. Donors to the fund include Maureen and Michael Rutgers and the Sarah and Evan Williams Foundation.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.